Please be seated. I can't see the person who's down to do the readings, so I shall do the readings. And the first reading is from Titus, and then from Luke, and then David is going to come and preach. So Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, and that's on page 1199. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Christmas. It's lovely to be here again, fourth time in less than 24 hours, but it's all good. It's such a brilliant celebration, isn't it? And I just want us to think a bit about why it's such a great celebration. But first of all, I'd like to play a little game with you. I know we've already had a quiz. And this is a game called If I Ruled the World. And it's a game that we sometimes play in the car, usually when someone's done something we object to in the driving department in another vehicle. And it's, if I ruled the world, I would ban certain things. One of the things that often comes up is tailgating or cutting in front of you when you're towing a caravan, although we don't do that anymore. So I'd just like you to think for a moment. I know it's quite hard on Christmas morning to actually think. What one thing would you ban if you could rule the world? Okay, one thing you'd ban. Good game to play. I know it's almost a negative thing, but sometimes banning things helps other people. So any thoughts about what you might ban if you... Yes, Michael?
Paid lobbying.
Ooh, that's very serious. Very good. Thank you. Paid lobbying. Michael would ban paid lobbying. Any others? Joshua? You'd ban Lego? That could prove slightly unpopular in your house, I think, Josh. Any other thoughts about what you might ban if you ruled the world? Rachel?
Violence,
yeah. Good one. Thank you. Marcus? Fighting, yeah. Barry? Oh, yeah. Millie?
Bedtimes?
Okay, interesting. Daniel? You'd ban football? That would... Oh, I see. Oh, gosh, that's that whole rugby football thing. Yeah. Ooh! Getting very political at the back. Very good. Well, I'm sure we could all come up with an interesting one thing. Julia and I have got quite a list that we've compiled over the years on our car journeys or walking around. And one of them is certain kinds of Christmas lights outside houses. Now, I'm not going to tell you which one is our particular thing in case you've got them outside your house. But it's lovely. Walking through Milton in the evening at the moment is really nice because there's so many houses that are decorated with lights. And so they're all very different. Some are clear, some are coloured, some flash. Oh, I nearly gave the game away there. Some in the shape of words, some of them that use these giant inflatable things. That's another one. But lots of fancy bulbs shining out in the darkness. And bringing light and a little bit of joy, or possibly a slight bit of grumpiness, to the community. And that human beings really need light. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in a more northern latitude than this, but when you're in a place where it's dark a lot of the time in the winter, even more so than here, it can really do bad things to your body. It can make you depressed. It can slow you down. And we need light for our bodies to work properly. And that's really important. Light is very important. But of course, Christmas isn't just about lights. It's also about presents. Anybody had any presents already this morning? A few people have. I'm not going to ask you what they are, because you can talk about them afterwards. But yeah, presents are good. And actually, I love presents. So please give me presents. No, not really. Presents are great because I can never quite make up my mind whether it's better to receive a present or give one, actually. And I really can't make my mind up because both are really good. The anticipation of receiving a parcel, shaking it very gently in case it's fragile. If you haven't opened them yet, don't shake them too hard. You never know. It might break. Just feeling it, thinking, I wonder what this could be. It's in the shape of a small square, and it just might be a CD or whatever, you know. And then opening it and finding something really surprising. And it's lovely. And somebody's thought about me to buy me that gift. And that's just a lovely thing. But then also, buying presents for other people is really special as well, isn't it? Because it's something that doesn't happen just like that. You think about that person. You plan what you're going to buy them. You think, well, what would they most like? So you have the pleasure of planning the purchase of the present or the making of the present, if you're making it for them. And then seeing the reaction as they open it, hoping it's going to be a smile and a thank you very much, that's just what I wanted, rather than yes, it's just what I wanted. There's two ways of saying that, aren't there? I hope you all get the smile ones without the gritted teeth today. So giving and receiving, hard to choose, really. But Christmas, of course, is about a very special present. And that present is a person. And that present comes from God with unbelievable love. You know, you get the gift tag, love from whoever, kiss, kiss. Well, God's gift tag is huge because it's not just for one person, it's for the whole world. And there's so much love, it's completely covered in kisses, if you know what I mean. Because that present is Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So Jesus is a gift from God that comes with huge love. And I was thinking, I know it's hard to put human emotions onto God, and that's a slippery slope theologically, but what his thought process was when he chose that gift for the world. Was he thinking, I wonder if they'll like the gift? I wonder if they'll accept the gift? I wonder if it'll be just what I always wanted or, just what we really wanted? I wonder how God thought that through. And everybody in the Christmas story was amazed or terrified. Have you noticed that? As you read through the story, so many people were amazed and other people were terrified. It's something that provoked extreme reactions in people. And Jesus still does that, of course. And we shouldn't really be surprised at that, I suppose. But this was a very precious gift, the gift of a Saviour, the light of the world. Now, I have another question. Did Jesus glow in the dark? No? Don't think so. Did he have a giant luminous dinner plate on the back of his head? No. So why has he got one in that stained glass window over there, I wonder? But that was just to show people who were special. It's the halo. But so if Jesus didn't glow in the dark, and if he didn't have an enormous luminous dinner plate behind his head, how can he bring light to the world? Well, he brings light to the world through salvation, through grace and truth and love. And how our world needs those things. Well, this has been a strange year, hasn't it? Of lots of things happening in the world, political things, natural disasters, wars, and so on. And the world really needs grace. People being generous to others in the face of disasters, the rich helping the poor. Needs truth, finding good solutions to the grievances that people have that cause conflict. Finding ways of bringing conflict to a conclusion that isn't just the absence of conflict, but is actually real, lasting peace. And love, caring for other people at the cost of ourselves. And that's exactly what God did in sending Jesus, grace, truth, and love. Caring for the world that he'd created at a huge cost to himself. Now, I love these Advent banners because they still work on Christmas Day, even though they're purple, and today's gold or white, but hey, whatever. So we've got Emmanuel, and then over there we've got the translation, God with us. And the wonderful thing is that, yes, Jesus came to be with us as the baby, as we built the crib yesterday afternoon at the crib service, although all the sheep seem to have run off, apart from two or three. Those of you who were here yesterday afternoon will realise what a relief it is, actually, that the sheep have run off, and particularly the enormous out-of-scale donkey, which, but as we built the crib, we see that the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But the amazing thing is, although Jesus could only then be in one place at one time, because he was a human being just like us and did not glow in the dark, it's just like you or me. If you pinched him, he went, ouch. He could only be in one place at one time. He is now with the Father in heaven, having died for our sins, having risen from the dead, having ascended. But God with us is still true because God sent his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still with us. And not just in one place at one time, but everywhere for everyone. So Emmanuel, God with us, is still true, even though Jesus is not physically present. And God is with us with the people who most need him, which is all of us, but particularly in the midst of the messy world that we live in, with the victims of violence, with the sick, with the lonely, with the bereaved, and so on. Here, in a world which can seem very dark, bringing God's wonderful light. And that's the Christmas good news, the light of the world, come to bring God's light of love and grace and truth. So, I hope today is a day filled with real joy for all of you. And that, Dave clearly has a sprout fixation. I don't know, he's mentioned it more than once. So, have you got sprouts today, Bridget, do you know? I'm guessing you might get lots of sprouts. lots of sprouts, excellent. I love sprouts too. So whatever your day holds for you today, I hope it is full of joy and full of light and full of life and love, and that today is a real celebration of the coming of our wonderful Saviour into the world. Bless you. Thank you.